Okay, so the majority of them are Shabbos questions. So we'll see how, maybe it'll go quick. So I found by moving an oil candle on Shabbos that's lit, so that's not permitted because the oil is going to go away from the candle or towards it, so it could be mavir. But with a wax candle, it seems like we don't have that issue. So I was wondering, in terms of this small amount of wax that's liquid on the top, does that make a difference? Or even just moving it without that, it seems like mechaber, because the candle is going to flicker and dim a bit.
But also a lit candle is mukta anyway.
Okay.
So you can't move it because of mukta. But you're correct. The flickering of the candle is a form of mechaber too.
So
I'm saying, but because of mukta, even if the candle goes out.
Well, yeah. So I would be thinking in a case of shasa dechak of some kind, if it is like falling over.
Yeah, but as long as the candle is lit, you should not be moved.
Okay.
Yeah. It's mechaber and maver.
It is mechaber if it's a wax candle.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was also wondering. Is it safe to assume that all of our houses nowadays are flammable?
Yeah.
I mean, so if something falls, regardless if it's a stone apartment.
Well, it may depend. I mean, if it falls into your ceramic or stainless steel sink,
mm-hmm.
then you don't make that assumption.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. You say, if someone has an all stone house, maybe. Mm-hmm. But the way houses are made today, there's always going to be a problem.
So even in these cement apartments in Israel, we can assume if it falls on the floor that it's dangerous? Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess this is where my non-oil candle would come about. If you have something that falls, so it's on fire, it seems like it's more desirable to pick it up and move it, if possible, to a place where it's not dangerous than to just put it out.
For sure.
So isn't the moving going to shrink the flame to make to
well, be well the difference is the difference is the shrinking and expanding of the flame is a temporary thing.
Whereas oil it's going to be permanent,
right, as opposed to being permanently extinguished. So if you have a choice between doing something that's temporary and doing something that's permanent, so temporary is less of a malacha. It's not a malacha d'oraisa.
Okay. For a large bag of potato chips, it's a flimsy container. So if I were to tear it open on Shabbos, it seems like it's just. So Rabbi Ribiat says it's like peeling the peel of an orange, where you're just gaining access to it. And
if, it's not a kli thing.
It's not a kli.
Okay.
Because it's flimsy, so it seems like it's still tearing for a constructive purpose. Because once I tear it open, the chips are now, you know, held in there, and I can reach it.
Well, that's why many people are on machmer on it. Uh-huh. Not to rip it in a way that you can use the bag, but that would be tikkun kli. That wouldn't be koreya. But in terms of koreya, some would say that that's not considered ripping for a constructive purpose, because a constructive purpose would only be if you've created some permanent receptacle. When you're ripping just to gain access, the time is that's not. From the perspective of the thing that you're ripping, it's not constructive. Meaning, mm-hmm. it's constructive in the objective sense that you get access to the potato chips, but it's not constructive for the bag.
Okay.
Because you have to look at it from the perspective of the bag, that the thing that you're ripping. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
That would be his hetzer.
Would it be permitted to play regular Scrabble, not the kind that you stick into the board, just that you're putting the letters together and they can slide around? That's permitted.
Yeah.
Okay. So he said, Rabbi Ribiat said, some hold that if you put food into a form, they have dishes in a tuna fish container, and if you put the fish in there, it takes on the form of the fish. So he said, just by sticking things together, some hold that that is kosev. Is that a valid assumption?
There's making discernible shapes in food.
Mm-hmm.
There's a basis to be machmir.
Okay, there's a basis.
Yeah.
Okay. if letters are already on the refrigerator, so magnets, magnetic letters are already on the refrigerator. So if I were to take them from outside and put them together, would that be usur? Okay, if they're already on the refrigerator, could I slide them around?
So that would depend, really, if you're making words.
Right.
If you're making new words out of it, then there'll be a basis not to do that.
Okay.
Because that's a new kosev. If it's just rearranging sequences of letters, then that would not help.
So that's why. So he said, on a briefcase, when you can slide the if it's a rolling number one. So it's because that's a just a sequence and not
it doesn't
a real
form words.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So if it did form words, would that be an issue?
Let me just point out that the briefcase is not really analogous to the refrigerator, because, let me qualify this. In other words, you're not talking about taking the letters off and rearranging. You can rearrange letters in two ways, just move them around.
Right, sliding them around.
Yeah. So if you're sliding them around, then they are never removed from the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like the briefcase. Well, for sure, if you're not forming words, it's okay. That I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
The question, if you're forming words, I'd have to check. I think it's kedai to be machmer, but that may not necessarily be the case.
Okay.
But once you take it off the surface, you can't put it back.
Okay. So he said with the tuna, it's fitting to be machmer. So what about putting just forks and making a picture or writing something out with just forks or things that aren't actually attached to anything?
Mean what?
Meaning I take a bunch of toothpicks and I write out my name. I just put them on the ground without sticking them into anything. Would that be like Scrabble?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. So if I have sticky notes and I want to. I want to make a note of something, so just by putting it there. If I have temporary intent, meaning I'm putting it there now, and then before the end of Shabbos, I'm going to take it out. Like if I have just to hold my place in something, is that temporary intent make it permitted?
No. I mean, obviously it's not a malacha deraisa, but still, the concept is that since these are things that are capable of being long, as opposed to the Scrabble and toothpicks and everything else, so it would be you shouldn't do it.
Okay. I saw Rabbi Rebiat says winding a watch, even though it's derech tashmisha, meaning I'm going to wind it. He says it's better not to wind it because of makiv patish, even if it's still going, even if the watch is still going. I'm just wondering why derech tashmisha doesn't apply there.
You're not talking about a self-winding watch, though, but a watch that you have to turn.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Well, derech tashmisha is a subtle svara. The winding the watch is not the tashmish of the watch. Meaning to say, derech tashmisha means fixing that occurs in the process of using the object.
Mm-hmm.
Now, winding the watch is a preliminary to using the object. In other words, the use of a watch is observing the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to call. So derech tashmisha would mean you're opening and closing a door to get something. So we don't consider every time you're closing a door to be bona,
mm-hmm.
because this is how you use the room, you know, by gaining. You know. But the winding is not the etzem tashmish of the watch. It's a preliminary activity.
So if I were to then if closing the door would make the house functional. Like it couldn't be functional without that. Would that be the same type of issue?
Not necessarily, because once again, the way you use a room is to go in and out of the room and open and close the door. That's the process of the shimush itself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the winding, which is really a separate activity. So.
Okay. So this is not a Shabbos question. It's more of a hashkafa question. So we see Eretz Yisrael is very important. I don't know if I've seen, other than the halachas that pertain specifically to Eretz Yisrael, why it's so, what makes Eretz Yisrael so important?
Well, you know, Hashem chose this land to give to the Avos, and it is said that the ability to connect to Hashem is greater here. Now, Hashem, of course, is everywhere. Hashem is not limited to a place, but it's like a cell phone reception. But certain places, there's a greater reception, a more clear reception. So Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made his Shekhinah more accessible to us. And therefore, the ability to attain closeness to Hashem is greater here. That's why there is only Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, because Nevuah is the highest level of how a person connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban writes that all mitzvos have their ultimate fulfillment only in Eretz Yisrael, meaning not just the mitzvos Tlios B'Yaretz, but Tefillin and, you know, Shabbos, really are fulfilled only here, and we do it in the Chutz La'aretz only so we'll remember what to do. So, that's the basic idea, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu designated a place on this earth where he is the most accessible to Jews who want to connect to him. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be davuk to him, so he wants us to be in the place where that potential is the greatest.
And this is true in Golus as well? While we're in Golus, it's still good, it still applies? What? So while we don't have the base of Mikdash and the Shekhinah is not...
Yeah. Well, that's a big... it does apply. There is a machlokas rishonim, whether it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says there's a mitzvah, chiyuv, to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban... Yeah, hello? Come in. I'm sorry, is it... hi, I'll be in a few minutes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so the Ramban says there's a mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't say there's a mitzvah. But even the Rambam, who doesn't say there's a mitzvah, certainly talks about the spiritual idea of being closer to Hashem here.
Okay.
So that, I think, is universal, even in Golas, even in Churban.
Okay.
If you ever want to look at the Kuzari is a very, very great discussion on Eretz Yisrael.
Okay. Do we have...
Okay, so we'll
do a couple more. The concept of tefasta meruba lo tefasta.
Yeah,
I saw in Sukkah. So I'm wondering, is this a svara or a halacha l'moshe miSinai that we can apply this? Or if so, why didn't Hashem just give us the size of something that we need?
It seems to be a svara. I don't think it's halacha l'moshe miSinai. I think it's generally speaking that it's part of Torah Shebal Peh in the sense, but Svar is also part of Torah Shebal Peh. It's not only what God gave to Moshe, but it empowers the Chachamim to use their logic to extract rules from the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tefasta Meruba says, if we're not sure if it's this or that, then we go with what we're certain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Tefasta Meruba lo tefasta.
So is there a reason why Hashem wouldn't just give us the size?
Well, it's hard to know, but part of it is he wanted... Now, why certain parts of the Torah this way? Not, but as a general rule, he wanted us to be participants in the interpretation of Torah, and therefore he did not give us answers to every question, requiring the Chachamim to use their Svarim.
Okay. So we discussed before that when we learn Torah... even things that seem to be unrelated, something that will never apply to our lives, that it's like pressing buttons that so it fixes us and as a result it affects the whole world. So why is it that Hashem would make unrelated things be the buttons? Why didn't we? It seems more that in things like Hasidus and Kabbalah and things like that, it seems like those are more direct. We can see that the direct connection between fixing ourselves and learning. Yet we spend a lot of our time learning things that are more unrelated. So why would Hashem make the buttons more unrelated?
Well, I it goes back, you know, these are very difficult questions, but it goes back to the idea that Hashem is a single unity. And the Torah, which has diversity of many, many different things, but the Torah is a reflection of God, and since God is a total unity, then everything in the Torah is ultimately united and connected. And therefore, even if A and Z have nothing to do with each other on any conscious level that we can connect, because this is a reflection of Hashem's unity, then everything is one. So when you put on tefillin, you're affecting, you know, war, whatever it will be. So it goes back to the notion that the appearance of diversity and disunity and disharmony and fractionalism is all an illusion based on the veils that Hashem has created in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And the system of mitzvos and Torah is something that pierces the veil to understand that everything is ultimately, everything converges at its roots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, that is actually more apparent. In other words, like this, when there's obvious connections, you really haven't negated the idea of diversity. What you're basically saying is, well, everything are different, but this is connected to that. But Hashem wants you to understand that it's not just the logical connection of A to B, but even phenomena that have no logical connection whatsoever are ultimately one. So in many, many ways, the ultimate unity of the Creator and the Torah, which is the mind of the Creator, is seen much more in unrelated phenomena than in related ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because related ones, you know, even in human logic, you know, we see the connection. But God wants you to understand that this is a reflection of the infinity of the unity of the Creator.
Okay. I've heard, I haven't seen inside, but the Tosfos says that squeezing wine out of your shirt or something is not considered shechita,
yeah,
with regards to malabim.
Because it's lichlich derech lichlich.
I guess if you have wine on your shirt,
yeah,
and I squeeze it out.
Yeah. Yeah, the svara is that the problem with squeezing a garment is it's a form of washing it.
Mm-hmm.
So with certain colored liquids, it makes the stain adhere more.
Oh.
So that's called lichlich. That's kind of squeezing that makes it dirtier.
Mm.
So it's not, that's not malabin.
Now, so it's
if
not
you want, if you want the one, see, again, there's two different issues. When you squeeze something because you want the liquid, that's the malacha of dush, threshing. When you squeeze just to wring water out of it, that's cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
So Tosfos is saying, if you don't want the wine and the malacha is only cleaning,
mm-hmm,
then when you squeeze colored liquid, that makes the stain stronger.
Okay.
That's called derech lichlich.
So it squeezes, it makes the stain worse.
It makes, okay, it worse, yeah.
I see. So by a cloth, with regard to dash, if I soak up water and I squeeze it, that's drabbanon as well.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the only derais are the
right,
the grape.
Well, depend. No. It actually depends. The derais of dash is only grapes and olives. And, but if you're squeezing out the water so the cloth will be clean, then that's a derais.
Okay. So we've discussed before that turning off a fluorescent light or a light with no filament in it, so it's just gas. So the issue of turning it on could be molied or a number of things. But we discussed turning it off. The only problem is it's Zilzul Shabbos.
Right.
So if I have a Shabbos need, would that be a could I turn off the light? Say it's bright and I want to go to bed.
Well, a lot of things here have become minhagim. It's very, very true. It's a very murky area, but the minhagim are very strong not to on or off.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe we'll stop now because
okay,
I want to give a general reading. But then again, you can come tomorrow or even later today.
All right, good.